Coming up, live phonology with John Latimer from the Rain Garden. You can also follow along on Facebook Live from the Northern Community Radio Facebook page.
Good morning. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. This morning, we're live from the Rain Garden just outside of KEXE Studios. Before I get started on the litany of plants that are in front of me, I want to remind you that if you're out and about this morning, you should be watching for lots of tansy to begin blooming. If you are lucky and you're in a pine forest this morning, look for Indian pipe, pine sap, which is a relative of Indian pipe and quite similar, only it has a single flower stalks rather than multiple flower stalks. And I was lucky enough this past week to both witness the flowering of the round-leafed sundew and the tessellated rattlesnake plantain. And both of those flowers are included in some pictures that I posted this morning on KAXE, KBXE's Season Watch. So go to the Season Watch page and check out those flowers. And while you're there, why, look and see what others have posted. Here in the Rain Garden this morning, as I approach the Rain Garden, I'm standing amongst a bunch of bird's foot trefoil, which is an introduced species in northern Minnesota. Bright yellow flowers, you see it along roadways just about everywhere in northern Minnesota. And the bird's foot trefoil is a nitrogen fixer, so it adds to the soils. And around them are dozens and dozens of little stems of yarrow that are just getting started. And these are the yarrow is sometimes called millifolia because it has thousands of leaves, and you can see it almost looks fern-like in its structure. And so look for yarrow. The flower of the yarrow is this big white disc. These are quite far along in terms of flowering. These are pretty much done flowering for the year right here. But there are plenty more where those came from. Besides the yarrow, of course, we have the black-eyed Susans, which are Rudbeckia, and they are doing really well here. They're just looking just fine, and you can see the black-eyed Susans all over your neighborhood. They're blooming everywhere in northern Minnesota. The other predominant flower in the Rain Garden this week, and last week I would not have guessed this, these flowers have bloomed just this week, and these are Monarda or bee balm. And true to their name, they're covered with bumblebees. Even at this early hour of the morning, the Monarda are covered in bumblebees. And there are great gouts of Monarda everywhere here in the Rain Garden right now. And that is especially satisfying for the butterflies and for the bumblebees. Lots of animals, lots of flying insects will benefit from the nectar sources in these wonderful flowers. Also among the flowers, among the Monarda here, is another kind of purplish blue flower. This plant is called vervain, and vervain is kind of interesting. It has stalks of purple flowers at the top. The leaves are rough and close to the stem, opposite branched, and the stem itself, this is hoary vervain, and the stem itself is covered in tiny white hairs, so you can check out the vervains. Blue vervain and hoary vervain both grow here in northern Minnesota. Pretty easy to tell the difference just based on the hair on the stems. In the background, beyond the flowering plants, you've got the developing fruits of the high bush cranberries. They're sort of orangey today. A little bit of red, a little bit of yellow mixing together to form a kind of an orangey color. And those berries will come ripe in the fall. The highest sugar content will probably be I don't know, maybe February. They're awful. To my taste buds, they are just awful. I've never eaten one that I found very palatable. And some of you may recall that last spring, Heidi and I were looking out at the high bush cranberries and wondering when the birds were going to come and eat the berries. And I don't know that they ever did. I'm not sure that those berries were ever eaten by birds. And they persisted throughout the summer here, or throughout the spring here, and went untouched by the birds. I've kind of circled around toward the back part of the garden, and I'm looking at the roundleaf dogwood, which is a gorgeous plant and one that is welcome throughout the area. The interesting thing about the roundleaf dogwood this time of year are the cymes that hold up the fruits. And you can see that there are not a lot of ripe fruits on these. So a lot of these fruits never develop. A lot of the flowers never develop fruits. But the cymes themselves become quite red and are starting to get that way right now, and they're going to be beautiful all through the fall. The berries will be kind of a milky sky blue, and then with that red structure underneath and the green leaves that will eventually turn burgundy, they're going to be quite beautiful. And covering almost all of this part of the rain garden is a wild cucumber, and it's not yet blooming, but the flowers are quite pregnant. They're quite swollen and just on the verge of sort of breaking out and starting to flower. And the cucumber is a vine, grows over everything in here. And what you have beside it, or what it's growing over here, is the bush honeysuckle. You can see the twin flowers of the honeysuckle and the paired opposite leaves of the honeysuckle. So that's that one's been blooming for a while and will probably continue to persist in its blooming for a bit longer yet this summer. But the cucumber will be in bloom in another week or two. Also, white campion. This is a night flowering plant, and one that the moths really go for, and it can be found just about everywhere. It supposedly has a really sweet smell, but I've never been able to detect it at all. It's just been too subtle for my nose. Then down onto the path and looking almost out to the Mississippi River, were it not for the, let's see, right in front of us we have Balm of Gilead, the balsam poplar, and we have some black ash and a few quaking aspen, and the whole ground here is completely covered with the woodbine, which has really, really taken off here. Very strong plant. Five leaves, big toothed leaves. And this is also a vine. And though it creeps along the ground here, it will readily grow up any plant that it comes in contact with and completely cover that. So woodbine is really starting to take over in the area. Oh, it looks as though some of the wild cucumber has begun to bloom. So this is the same plant that we were seeing on the other side, and here it is in bloom, and five petals, lots of stamens sticking out all over the place. And when this one goes to seed, you'll have that pod that's going to look like a little puffer fish. It's going to have spikes all over it, and it will be quite spectacular this fall as it goes to seed. What else? It's a pretty fecund garden this morning. There's no doubt about that. It's got all sorts of growing things in here. It's got some other species. This is another species of Rudbeckia, but this is coneflower of one sort or another, and not the black-eyed Susan, which has got a little bit different structure to it. There's a good close-up of Monarda. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you might be taking all these things in. It's a little difficult to talk about these things because oftentimes I'm trying to describe them to you while you're not looking. Today, you're looking. And down here along the river, you can see that we've got a little hosta garden going here. And the hostas are blooming. They're big bell-shaped flowers. They remind me a little bit of the common bellflower, which is blooming very profusely at my house. Also has purple flowers. And I see the bumblebees are helping themselves to the nectar that's available here. So lots of bee action, and that's good. Pollinators are very important to all of us, and we've got to make sure that they get plenty of access to the things that they need. Walking along the trail here, we're looking at an invasive species called tansy. This is brought to the United States for medicinal purposes. It's a real scourge. It comes in and it crowds out lots of native plants. And so we kind of, at my house, tansy gets pulled up and thrown out. And the conversations we had earlier about raspberries, Heidi and I are about to enjoy a raspberry or two here as we try to find one that'll come off and is ripe. Mm. Oh, my. Mm. Wow. Yeah, you can't do better than wild raspberries in this time of year. Oh. Oh, you're going to let me have that one? Wow, thank you. Yeah. So go out and pick some raspberries this morning, throw them on your breakfast cereal. You better have that one. Mm, yeah. So the raspberries are definitely coming into season right now, and there's two ways to eat raspberries as far as I'm concerned. Eat them on breakfast cereal or throw them on ice cream. My aunt used to make a sauce, raspberry sauce, and she would put it on ice cream, and the sauce itself would sort of freeze. And oh, it was so good. Oh, my. It's a wonder I'm not dead from a heart attack for all the bad things I've eaten. Mm. Well, the raspberries are definitely offering their bounty up to us this morning, and that is a good thing. Oh, we've got some woodland sunflowers in bloom, and this is the first that I've seen of these around the area. Hudson was saying over in the acre. First that I've seen, and the ones at my house aren't even budded yet, so it'll be a while. One more thing on the way back to the studios, I want to show you the red osier dogwoods, which are indeterminately flowering plants, which means that you can come up to a red osier dogwood right now, you can find berries, you can find flowers, and you can find so the osier dogwood is one of those wild can have flowers in September and berries the whole time, and it is one of those that we always sort of enjoy throughout the season. The yard here is full of some growing trees. We've got an oak tree here. This one has had some struggles, but it's a nice white oak and coming along pretty good. And then just up the hill from the white oak is a red oak, and it looks just fine as well. And then, of course, our spruce trees. Looks like we've got a blue spruce here, Heidi. I don't know. These are not native. The blue spruce. This one seems to be doing quite well. And then, of course, we've got black spruce, white spruce. The black spruce would be in a lower sort of a area. Usually we find our black spruce trees in areas where we have swampy nature. I find occasionally a black spruce on higher ground, and they grow quite well, but they don't outcompete the white spruce when it comes to high ground. That's our phenology show for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. And as always, if you have observations or comments you'd like to make, please send them along.